This week I was watching a documentary of lions. They were showing this lion that was hiding under some bushes. He was just sort of waiting for the prey to come a little bit closer. He was motionless, just waiting to pounce on that prey. And as the prey got a little closer, within striking distance, the lion jumped out, chasing after this young water buffalo. And within a short period of time, he caught up with this water buffalo and attacked it. Attacked the neck first to kill the water buffalo. After a short period of time, other lions came around and it was dinner time. They devoured that animal. Chewed it up. Ripped it up. It was quite a nasty scene. You know, the Bible says that our enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Sometimes we don't notice they're there, but he's hiding there. He used deceptive ways to sort of suck us in, to tempt us. Before we know, he'll bounce on us, chew us up, devour us. And one of the major targets that the devil pursue after our families. Oh, he's doing a very good job, man, in fact, in bringing divisiveness within families. Where there's turmoils between the parents as well as the children, that there are constant battles at home. There's shouting matches between the husband and the wife. And we find many families that are really struggling. And one of the most effective means in how he does this, to devour families, is to make us angry. Make us angry. Of all the places you would think our home should be the most peaceful place, but unfortunately, we find in many homes, there's just constant war that's taking place. You see, when anger takes hold of us, that dark side of us begins to take over. All kinds of unpleasant things are coming out. Well, we might begin by tuning out the other person and not want to listen to that person anymore. Because that person, a family member, that might have hurt us or treated us unfairly. And next, we see our attitude start changing. Our facial expression start changing. The volume of our speech started changing. And before we know it, our behavior begins to change. Ugly, mean, filthy, nasty speeches come roaring out of our mouth. It's like a dagger that just sort of stabs in one's heart. You know, verbal abuse. Many times, there's more permanent damage than physical abuse. And we find a lot of that happening within families today. We feel mistreated. We get into an attack mode. We can easily result in physical harm as well. Satan's out to get you and get me to devour families, getting us uptight, provoking us to anger, getting us mad. Before we know, we're clashing, we're tearing each other up. Last month, during Mother's Day, I addressed the issue of provoking one to anger, remember? Well, that's what Satan wants us to do, provoke each other to anger. Today, I'd like to emphasize the positive behavior that we need to express in order for us to experience a happy and harmonious family life. And that is, we need to learn to honor one another. I really believe the key to eliminating anger is to learn to honor one another. I believe the key to a harmonious and happy marriage, as well as a family relationship, requires us to increase honor and decrease anger. There's so much angry feelings in our families. I believe the best way to handle that is for us to learn to honor one another. Well, let us take a look at what it means to honor. I like what Gary Smalley, how he defined honor. Honor is a decision we make to place high value, worth, and importance on another person. It involves a decision, a conscious decision, that one needs to honor another individual, to value them, to lift them up, to see them as someone that's significant and valuable. Honor is genuine love in action. To honor a person involves choosing to highly value another before we actually demonstrate love. How we view another person affects how we love that person or not. Before we can really love another, we need to choose to value and say, this is an important person. Now, that does not necessarily mean that this person has to be worthy of honor. There might be individuals alive that might have hurt us. But yet, we need to learn to honor them as well. And in many cases, love often begins to flow once we decide to honor that person. See, honor is unconditional. When we honor and highly value another person, most likely that person will honor us as well and respect us and love us. It's a win-win situation. Matter of fact, that's basically what the golden rule say. Look at what the golden rule has to say when Jesus said in Luke 6:31. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Life is about relationships. How much we are willing to give determine how much we get back in return. We focus on honoring. Then we'll see anger being diminished more and more. Then we'll be able to enjoy our family life much more. However, we choose to dishonor those that are around us, and particularly those that are within our family. We see other behavior that will take place. Again, I'd like to quote from Gary Smalley. He says, anger, unjust criticism, unhealthy comparison, favoritism, jealousy, selfishness, envy, and a host of other weapons are justified as valid to use against people we consider to be of little value. See, we judge different individuals. We're predetermined if we're going to value this person or honor that person or disvalue this person. And we choose to devalue certain individuals. We have the right and the permission to criticize them, to treat them like dirt. And that's not what God desires for us to do. When we value another person's, we give that person the benefit of the doubt when something goes wrong. However, if we devalue another person, when something goes wrong, we jump all over them, we get angry, we shout and criticize and yell. That's anger. We are to honor one another. Well, who are we to honor? Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 2:30. First of all, we need to honor God. See, God is worthy. He is God. And we are to lift Him up high. We are to value Him for who He is. Scripture says, therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declare, I promise that your house and your father's house will minister before me forever. But now the Lord declare, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. When we honor God, God promises that he'll honor us. It's a win-win proposition. Not only are we to honor God, but we are also to honor others. See, God values all of mankind. He loved man so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for us all, to show us that we are valuable, we are significant, we are important, to the point that he was willing to die for us. The Bible instructs us that we're to honor one another. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. We probably also remember the Great Commissions where God commands us the two greatest commandments. The one is to love God with all of our hearts, soul, mind. And second, We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to love God or honor God. We're also to love our neighbors. We're to honor one another. There is a particular group of people. The scripture says that we ought to honor. I would like to focus upon that today. And that is that we are to honor our parents. In Ephesians chapter 6, 2 and 3, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This is Father's Day. I like to focus the application of honoring within our families. We're to honor our parents. But we are also all to honor our children as well. Sometimes we neglect that. There needs to be a mutual honoring of one another. Well, why aren't we to honor one another? Well, first of all, it is a commandment from God. It's a commandment from God. It is not a suggestion that we should honor, but it is a command. We are to honor God. We are to honor one another, particularly our parents. As we read from the Ten Commandments, we are to honor our parents. One of the Ten Commandments. You see, God's Word is truth. God's Word is a manual for life. And we choose to obey it and follow it, we will enjoy life to its more fullest. But if we choose to reject it, then we will live a frustrating life. I know many men think that we could do just about anything. Well, I remember when we bought a desk for Ellie. When I looked at that, I said, piece of cake. Just give me that piece of paper with a picture. I could figure it out. Right? You men, you do the same thing too? I don't need to read instructions. I hate to read instructions. I go tackle it. And I start assembling it. And time and time again, somehow I don't learn this lesson. I think I'm Superman or something. Time and time again, after a short period of time, I get frustrated. Like, this doesn't fit with this, or what is this piece? And you know, I'm a little bit lost. And I end up going back to the instruction. Reading it. Not only reading it, but following it step by step in order to assemble that desk in a proper manner. You know, I could have saved myself all this frustration, all this stress, and all this waste of time if I would have just read it and followed the instruction in the first place, because the person that wrote that instruction is the one that designed that desk. In the same way, God is the one who designed families, marriages. If we are going to enjoy marriage and family to its very fullest, we need to take hold of God's Word. Not only read it, but we need to follow and obey God's Word. Let us not learn the hard way. Instead, may we be obedient to God's commandments. We honor God. We honor each other because God commands us to do so. But not only that, we see that God has given some wonderful promises that's connected to honoring our parents. Let's take a look again at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. It says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And here is the promise. Two things. That it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Let me just take a poll. I'll be honest. How many of you like to live long life and live well? Well, I think, most of you. I guess some of you are not very interested in it. I'm sure all of us would say that was a sort of no-brainer. Of course! I want long life. Of course I want to live life well. And we see here in Scripture, God assures those who honor their parents that they will live long and live well. See, we live longer because we would have less stress with our parents. Those are stressful times. We'll get along well. We'll live well together. And when we develop a habit of honoring our parents, we would probably extend that behavior to others that are around us. And when we learn to honor others as well, I assure you, life will be good. Live long, live well. It's a tremendous promise given to us. And the natural question we might want to ask next is, well, how do we go about honoring one another? And I'm going to look specifically at the context of our family. How can we honor our parents? How can we honor our children? Well, there are many different ways. I'd just like to highlight five ways how we might be able to honor one another. If we value other people, one of the first things we need to do is to be willing to put others above ourselves. Placing others' needs above ourselves because we value them above ourselves. This action requires us to make sacrifices. Sacrifices. Putting others above ourselves. In Scripture, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." If we honor someone, then we will be willing to make sacrifices. A few weeks ago, my family went up to Kentucky for my graduation, and we came back. And when we came back, my son Paul had about 2 more days to be in Houston before he goes back to UT Austin for summer school. I remember as we were driving back, he was already calling all his buddies. We're going to meet so-and-so for lunch, for dinner, and so forth. That 2 days got packed. I could hear him just calling and just making arrangements here and there. And before I left and when we got back to our house, I just looked around our yard and noticed it was kind of tall, the grass. And deep inside, I was saying to myself, boy, it would just be great if Paul would just mow the lawn before he takes back off to Austin. And I go, well, no, I'm not. That's not a good thing. That is maybe a little selfishness of mine. You know, he has only 2 days to hang out with his friends. I'm not going to ask him. I'll just do it, a little later on my own. And I went to work the next day, and I came home. And I was just really surprised because the lawn was mowed. And I go, who mowed the lawn? Well, maybe Ellie mowed the lawn, you know? I didn't know, you know. And later on, I found out it was my son who mowed the lawn. And he came up to me later on that evening. He says, you know, Dad, I just knew that mowing the lawn would make you so very happy. And he was very right. I was really excited. You need to understand, because my love language is act of service. Literally, if you want to demonstrate love to me, you do something for me. You know, and that was important to me. And I was just really tickled to death because he was willing to make sacrifice of his limited time with all his buddies. And he snuck it in there. I don't know how he did it. Mowing the grass. So that I could be happy. He placed me in a higher value of worth, of importance above some of his friends. I was just really grateful to God. What kind of sacrifices can you make for your dad? Maybe washing his car and waxing it too, you know? Or maybe cooking a delicious meal for dad and mom. Well, there's many ways we could do so. We're willing to make sacrifices, demonstrate our care for them and how we value them. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about parents. We are to value our children as well. And one of the best ways of making sacrifices is to give up our time for our children. It is important for us to be there when they have different school activities or performances, when it might be sports activities or music performance, or whatever it might be that we could cheer them on. We'll be there for them. Our children will remember that. And they know that we are busy. They know when we go out our way to be there for them, we're making sacrifices. And we are saying to them that we value you. You're worth a whole lot. You're important. You're significant. That I'm willing to give up some other things so that I can be there for you. Not only are we to make sacrifices, but we could honor one another by affirming one another. Our words are very powerful. It could be used as a curse and could rip our hearts, or it could be used as a blessing to others. We honor and value others when we affirm them, when we show appreciation, when we recognize them, when we tell them what we appreciate about them. We are to use words that will build each other up and not to tear each other down. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." As an application, I'd like to encourage you to make a list of qualities that you appreciate about dad and your mom. Matter of fact, if you have a moment, you might want to just write down one or two character right by the sermon outline right now. And I encourage you to call your dad, if or visit him today and tell him what you appreciate, affirm, encourage. And as parents, I'd like you to do the same. in making a list for each of your children, identifying qualities that you appreciate about him or her, because each one of them is unique and special. And they have their special abilities. Recognize each of them according to how God has made them. Tell them today why you appreciate him or her to be your son and your daughter. That's how we can honor our children. Remember, the key to a strong family is to increase honor and decrease anger. The third way is how we might be able to honor one another within a family is to listen with understanding. Listen with understanding. In James chapter 1, verse 19, look what it says. My dear brother, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. See, we live in a very busy society. Seldom are we able to find someone that cares for us enough to listen to us fully and to really try to understand what's going on in our life. Many of us live a very lonely life. We keep everything ourselves. We don't have anybody that we could really share because others are not willing to listen. I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give to others, in particular our loved one, is to learn to listen. Listen. Unfortunately, you find many times we only hear but not truly comprehend or pay attention. We're there. Our body is there. But maybe our mind is not quite there. And we maybe listen selectively certain things, but we haven't heard the whole thing. Or we didn't really truly understand all that was said. May we learn to listen with understanding. One of the greatest complaints among teenagers toward their parents is that they do not listen to me. And nor do they try to understand me. And one of the greatest complaints among wives that my husband does not listen to me, does not pay attention, can't get himself away from the TV or the computer monitor. And when we feel that we're not listened to, it's easy for us to get angry, get upset. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. We find in our society, some of us cannot find anybody to listen to them, that they go and pay big bucks to a counselor so that they will listen to them. And that ought not to be. We ought to learn to listen. And one of the best ways in showing that we are listening and trying to understand the other person is when somebody tells us something that's deep, is to reflect back to him or her what you just heard. To paraphrase what was said. And when we do so, we're communicating to the other person that we really value them, that they are of great worth. And we want to understand what they're trying to say. So may we learn to honor one another by listening with understanding. We've talked about the three ways. The fourth way how we might be able to honor one another is trust. Trust. In Psalms 37:3a, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Just as we are to trust God, we also need to learn to trust our parents, trust our children. This might be a problem for many, to learn to really trust one another. You know, when parents are not willing to allow their children to make decisions on their own, it communicates that we don't really value them. We don't trust them. We don't think they could handle it. We're saying you're not quite smart enough to take on that responsibility. Trust is very critical. And when we do not trust our family members, that could easily create anger. Again, sneaks up again. And what we need to learn to do is to increase honor and decrease anger. How will our children learn to be independent? We need to give them opportunity to grow. We need to learn to trust them. Allow them to make decisions on their own. When they make a mistake, not jump all over them, but use it as a learning opportunity for them. May we train our children to make decisions and handle responsibilities when they are very young. Refrain from making all the decisions for them. Guide them by giving them options so that they might be able to learn to make decisions. When the kids are very young, provide some options for them and let them choose. Help them understand consequences of decision making. Ask them, do you want to go to the park or you want to go to grandpa's house? It's an option. Let them choose. Do you want to play piano or join the soccer team? There's a choice. There's decisions that they need to make. Give children responsibility. Trust them. But also show them how to carry out that responsibility. And that's a teaching opportunity for us. Show them how to pick up toys. We'll pick it up together. And next time, you pick it up yourself and trust that they will. Or show them as they get a little older how to wash dishes. Even as they get a little bit older, show them how to research to find the best airfare for your vacation. They could do plenty of things. We need to learn to delegate responsibilities for children. Show them, model for them, and then trust them. Again, our goal is to increase honor and decrease anger. And the fifth and last suggestion I'd like to make today to honor one another is to learn to forgive. Learn to forgive. You see, we all make mistakes. Even parents, I know we hate to admit we make mistakes, but we do. And life is miserable when we get angry at our parents, and sometimes we get bitter and not want to resolve it. You see, when we get hurt, it's natural for us to want to hurt the other person back. We don't want to forgive because then it gives me the right and permission to act cruelly toward dad or mom. Or maybe even seek revenge, but we don't say it. So we're not willing to forgive. But when that happens, I tell you, we live a very unhappy life. I find different people that have had difficulties with their parents as they grow up. They haven't truly dealt with it or forgive their parents. May we learn to forgive. Because that's what God wants us to do. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I believe there are some of us here in this auditorium that's mad at their dad or their mom. Because maybe as they were growing up, they had unrealistic expectations. Maybe they've just mistreated us. We're mad. And when we think about dad or mom, we just have these bad memories. The wounds open up. And we get angry. I really challenge you. And some of us might be, you know, we're adults. And may we learn to resolve those differences. Many of those hurts can be caused because of misunderstanding. May we choose to talk and resolve those difficulties. May we choose to forgive one another. Because when we do so, we're valuing that person. We're honoring that person. Let us not live in anger. But let's choose to be happy and to have a harmonious life by honoring those that we love dearly. For the devil is seeking to destroy and devour our family and to rob us of the joy that we can have within the family. May we choose to increase honor. How can I honor members of my family more and more? We need to decrease anger. What are some things that would provoke my children or my parents to anger? Let's not do that. Instead, let me look at ways how I could value them, lift them up. And when we do so, we will experience family that God intended for us to enjoy. As an application, I'd just like to ask if you look at those five areas and choose one of those five that you would work on this week. And I'd like you to look at that sermon outline and circle one of them. So I'm going to work on this, Lord, help me, so that I could learn to honor my family members more. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, we thank you for our family members, for you have placed them in our life, Father. And Lord, we do desire to enjoy our family life more. And the secret really is learning to honor, to value, and to give significance to those that we love. So we pray that you teach us, you give us patience, you give us desire to do so. And may we experience the joy that comes from having a happy and harmonious family. In Christ's name, amen.
A very practical sermon, and indeed may we go home and really focus on one of those five areas. Well, the song of response is I Give You My Heart, a song that's